exclusionary disability. So my name is Amanda. I'm a doctoral student at the University of Southern California. I'm going to be talking about methamphetamine use among homeless former foster youth and the way that some of their network factors influence that relationship. So 30% of all homeless adults report a foster care history compared to the general public, and a lot of those youth who report a foster care background will end up experiencing homeless, so this kind of intersection between homelessness and foster care experience is of interest to me. Homeless former foster youth, though, generally receive less attention in the literature, but specifically, I mean, I'm interested in their networks and their substance use specifically. There's very little kind of discussed about that. So, of course, homeless youth with and without histories of foster care are going to experience higher rates of substance use. And social networks, so who they are interacting with on the street, from home, wherever, does impact their behavioral health. So the levels of substances that they're using or sex risks or anything like that is going to be influenced by who they're connecting with. Oh, sorry about that. And support networks, so those kind of, well, I'll talk about that in a minute, but those positive supports can mitigate that relationship between their homelessness status and their substance use. And then, so specifically, I'm really interested in looking at, ultimately kind of why some substances are used at higher rates among former foster youth, but really that relationship between their foster care experience and their substance use. So not just in this study, but in at least one other previous study, methamphetamine use was higher among homeless former foster youth compared to other homeless youth. Generally, substances are used at slightly lower rates or similar rates between those with and without a foster care background, but methamphetamine specifically are used at higher rates, and I'm interested in why. And I'm really interested in why and how network characteristics influence this relationship. So who are you interacting with and how is that impacting your substance or your methamphetamine use? So I'm using the YouthNet data set, which was collected by Dr. Rice in the second row, which is looking at homeless youth networks in Los Angeles. So these are youth 13 to 25, and this analysis is just using some of the data, but really collected from drop-in centers. So those youth that are using these facilities, organizations that offer them some resources, food, referrals. Some of them offer clothing, counseling, HIV, STI testing, things like that. So these are youth that are using services already, but those youth that are using them were invited to participate and in these surveys. And both egocentric and sociometric data were used for these networks. And for those of you who may or may not be familiar with network analysis, so an egocentric network is going to be, how much methamphetamines did you specifically use? And sociometric is going to be like how many people in your network that you're receiving support from or that you're interacting with are using drugs or are engaging in risky sex or anything like that. So it's really, the sociometric is looking at the network level rather than the individual level. And part of what I'm interested in is how that network level kind of phenomena is impacting the individual. So for this analysis, I dichotomized foster care experience, and I'll talk about this at the end, but it's really, have you experienced foster care? So it's just kind of cut and dry, kind of black and white, I should say. Methamphetamine use is kind of how many times in the last month have you used meth, ranging from 0 to 40 or more in the last month. There's also recent or lifetime use. Lifetime is, of course, your lifetime. Recent is in the last 30 days. So a lot of what I'm interested in is being the daily or almost daily use of methamphetamines to be a heavier user. Time homeless is also entered into this analysis because time homeless kind of exacerbates some of those risk factors for engaging in substance use and other risk factors. So I'm interested in seeing how that influences everything. And then network factors. So these network I'm only choosing three, as you can see. So I'm looking at alter methamphetamine use, alter injection drug use, which is going to overlap, and then alter heroin use. So of the people in your network, who is using methamphetamines? Who is using injection drugs? Who's using heroin? And then I am controlling for kind of trauma history. This is looking at some differences between youth with and without a foster care history. A lot of foster youth have similar backgrounds as non-former foster youth, but their experiences are not exactly the same. So, and then the theory. So like I said, I'm using social network analysis, so I'm looking at the ties, partially looking at the ties between individuals and the impact of these network characteristics on individual use. And then the risk amplification and abatement model is really focusing on the kind of contacts these youth have had. So negative contacts, are you engaging currently or in your life with people who have been using substances or engaging in other risk factors? Or do you have contact with positive agents, so agents that are not using substances or providing support, things like that. And that's used to explain the impact of negative life events, both for homeless youth and former foster youth, because, like I said, a lot of them have had similar similar experiences. So that's my conceptual model. I am saying that foster care experience does impact individual recent methamphetamine use. So the fact that you have been in foster care does influence your methamphetamine use in the last 30 days. I'm also saying that time homeless, so how long you've been homeless, and that these alter network or these network measures are mediating that relationship. So maybe it's not really about foster care experience that's impacting or driving their increased use, but maybe it's the kind of people that they're hanging out with or affiliating with and how long they've been homeless. So I did use a path analysis, and I am saying that there is a mediating role relationship between those variables. And that's this method is just that there is a relationship, a significant relationship between foster care and methamphetamine use, and then when you add in those mediators, it's no longer significant because the relationship is really through those mediators. Okay, so I put all three of them. The first column is all youth in the sample, so you can see mainly or majority of are male, majority heterosexual, and then you can see the racial breakdown. Now, I will say that the data was collected from a couple of sites, sites. And so this is just an overall for everybody, but do understand that this breakdown looks different by site. You know, one of the sites is Hollywood, kind of in the center or inland, and then one is Venice or Santa Monica, and that's on the water. So different communities, different youth. But for this purpose, it's just everybody. So a large percentage of African-American youth and then white youth. And then I draw attention to the bottom years homeless, so an average of 3.5 years homeless. And then high methamphetamine use, so that's 20 or more times in your life. You can see the percentage is about a fifth. And then high recent meth use is about 5%. So those youth that are using daily meth in the whole sample are a little bit under 5%. Now, looking at foster youth and non-foster youth, I focus in on the foster youth, but and specifically you can see at the bottom that they do spend longer time homeless in general. They do use higher rates of lifetime meth, have higher rates of lifetime meth use and higher rates of recent meth use. And I knew that from the literature also, but it is also, that's how it exists in this network as well. So I just ran correlations between foster care experience and these variables, and you can see that they're all significant. So I was interested really to see if there was any correlation between, you know, foster care experience and how long you're spending homeless, the kind of people you're affiliating with. So that was the first step, and those came back significantly as I predicted. And then the results. So when I entered the mediators into the model, you can see that the two variables that were significant were time homeless and alter meth use. So as I explained, the relationship, when the mediators are added, the relationship between foster care experience and meth use is no longer significant as it was when those the simple model is run. And when you add the mediators, time homeless becomes important. Time homeless becomes the driving factor in the relationship, as does the methamphetamine use of the people in your network that you're affiliating with. Heroin use and injection drug use are no longer, or are not significant. So what does this mean? So some of my interest in this analysis really was, what is it about the foster care experience? And I think kind of some of the answer was, it's not, meaning it's really foster youth are spending longer time homeless, and they're affiliating with more peers that are using meth, and that those associations are influencing how they use meth differently than youth without a foster care experience. So it's really the relationship between their peers and their network affiliations and their time homeless that's driving this relationship. That doesn't mean that doesn't say something about their foster care experience, whether it's an institutional factor or something else. It just means that it's not directly their foster care experience that's driving that relationship. And that effect interventions kind of should really maybe, not that they shouldn't focus on foster care experience, but reduction in time homeless is going to be a big factor. And then really who these youth are spending time with, who are they affiliating with, and how can we kind of impact their drug use through their network members and affiliations rather than, you know, their foster care experience or trauma experiences or something like that. And then future studies. So I am interested moving forward in really looking at aspects of foster care experience. Like I said, this variable was dichotomized, so yes or no on foster care experience. I'm interested in, additionally, how long have you been, or how long were you in the foster care experience? How many placements did you have? What were your experiences? Abuse, trauma, things like that. Why were you placed in the foster care system? And I expect that those would also influence kind of who is doing what and why, that kind of stuff. And then a clear understanding for the mechanism. So why or what is it about spending longer time for these particular youth that is driving their increased meth use, and why are they particularly influenced, or is that relationship particularly influenced by their peers who are using meth? You know, why, what is it about foster youth that is driving this relationship? And then limitations. So I use three drug risk behaviors. There are others, and you can kind of think about ways in which you could make that a little bit more sophisticated in looking at like kind of drug network measures. It's a convenient sample, and then one of my bigger issues is the foster care experience. Kind of, you know, I'm only able to take a very kind of, it's a crude measure in a way, and I'd like to be able to find out other aspects about their experience that's influencing this relationship. And that's it.